Hjertelig velkommen. Du hører nå på en podcast fra Tønsberg Frikirke. Talen tatt opp på vår gudstjeneste, søndag på Brygga i Tønsberg.
Father, we want to thank and praise you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you what you've been doing for us over these days, Lord. Healing and transforming, Lord God. Delivering and setting free. Even now as we look into your word, we commend ourselves to your word and to your grace. Thank you so much for these beautiful people, Lord, that you've brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. May the entrance of your word bring light. In Yeshua's name I ask it. Amen. It's been such a wonderful privilege to be with you over these last 3 days. And I know that we serve a mighty God. And also too, I'm convinced that God has mighty things for you all in the coming days. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace will much more abound. And so we see what's happening in the nations around the world. We see on every hand is evil and darkness. At the same time, God is moving in a mighty way. In Luke chapter 18 verse 8, Jesus asks a question. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Will he find faith? And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So God has deposited his faith in the lives of millions of people around the world. Week after week, people come to church to hear the word of God preach. It says in Romans 10, verse 13 to 17, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When Jesus returns, he's coming looking for one thing. Faith. Faith. And I know that even on the first day that I was here, I never came here planning, thinking about, speaking about pride. If I knew that, I don't think I would have come. I'd be too afraid. But that's what the Lord put on my heart to speak about, and I know it was dealt with. It was dealt with. Stronghold of pride has been broken. So that means now you can rise up and you can fulfill God's mandate, and God can get his inheritance out of you. He can get his inheritance out of you. And I want to speak about faith. We years ago, I was facing a situation and I started saying, Lord, like the disciples, increase my faith. Because there was something I had to believe for, and it was actually really impossible in the eyes of man. And he took me to Hebrews chapter 11 and showed me in his word how, when he says that he has given to everyone a measure of faith, the seed of faith, when you hold a seed in your hand, you hold a potential tree in your hand. Then that means that if you have a seed in your hand, you have a potential tree with fruit. and in that fruit has seed. And in those seeds, you have trees. So when you hold a seed in your hand, you actually hold a potential forest.
Yeah.
So when you think about all the word that you've heard, and God invests his faith in you, there's so much in there. That's how nations can be changed. That's how communities can be changed. That's how we saw our community transformed, by just understanding that we were not to lean on our own understanding, but his faith. He wants his faith in us to increase. And so I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just going to take you through some things that really put us in a position when we began to understand the faith of the people in the church began to grow and expand at different levels, and we start to see miracles, people on their jobs start to see people getting saved on their jobs and in their neighborhoods. And we have it all here, and he shows us in this chapter how this our faith can develop, because faith is it's our DNA. If you're a child of God, faith is our DNA. Yeah. You better cheer up. I have to leave to go and take a plane, so you But it says it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, "Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back." Yeah. We are not of those who draw back. Amen. Amen. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Glory to God. I remember Simon Peter, he was with Jesus and he got a revelation of who Jesus was. The next minute he's then telling Jesus that he's wrong. And as I said the other day, revelation can bring us to a place where we can get proud. God shows us something, God begins to use us, and all of a sudden he uses us, and then we think we're something, and we get proud. And that's what's been destroying the church. But that's all stopping, because we're going to walk, live by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Simon, Satan desires to sift you like wheat." He wants to sift the faith that I've put inside you. He wants to sift the word that I've given you. He wants to sift it out of you. Because I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. So if pride's gone, we need to fill that gap with faith. Please help me. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to replace all the self-centeredness with God-centeredness, which is faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I want to say this right now. I just know that he says in his word that he has dealt to every man and woman a measure of faith. And that's in Romans 12, verse 3. He has given to us all a measure of faith. And it's time now for us to rise up and say, "Lord, whatever we do, we're going to do it by faith in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen." Let me just take you down here. I want to just get to the point here. The development of our faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just take some of these verses here, because I just love the word of God. It says in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." And then in verse 3, we see, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So we understand, first and foremost, in this chapter, it starts with creative faith. Creative faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Creative faith. So by faith, we understand
That's why we're not Darwinists. We may behave like monkeys sometimes. So it starts with this, the faith. We understand, God, you've given us the ability. Every single person that has had the word of God, Jesus, revealed to you, it's something for us to thank God for. There are many people out there who want to know, want to understand what we've got. It's a gift from God. Yeah. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Yeah. It wasn't a big bang. Yeah. No. A big bang. Have you ever got dynamite and put under some wood and blow it up and build a house? No. It's nonsense. God created. God created. And then we go, and I've got to go fast. Verse 4. Because listen, now, verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and through it being dead, he still speaks. The first thing that happens with your faith, when God gives you this gift of faith, the first thing you've got to do is be willing to give it back to him. You've got to sacrifice. You have to be willing to walk out on nothing and believe that something's there. Okay? So you've got to be willing to sacrifice, not your flesh, your faith. Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to be able to trust you. Amen? We are going to see the power of God manifest in a way. I've just come from... Two of my brothers back in the church received news that they had cancer. And one, the doctors even told him how long he had to live. And I said to him, listen, there's nothing I can do for you, but God has done it.
Amen.
And to follow him, you have to swallow him.
Amen.
I told Neil, just eat. Just eat the word. Eat the word. Let the word bring you faith that can expand. December, Neil went to see with his wife the doctors because they had him on chemo and he's incurable and the cancer spread from his prostate right through his body. And when he sat before the doctor, they said, we can't understand it, but we can't find one trace of cancer. In your body. God gets the glory. Amen. So it's got to be a atoning sacrificial faith. We had another man called Max. He ended up with the same situation. He heard Neil. He goes to his doctor. They can't find the cancer in him. This thing is contagious. It's not about us. It's all about him.
Yes.
And these signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Father, I ask you right now, help me, Lord God, to be willing to trust you for who you are. Look at verse 5. See, when you begin to be willing to sacrifice your faith, you're going to walk differently. You're going to talk differently. You're going to think differently. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Listen to me. When you start to sacrifice and go against your feelings and your flesh and start sacrifice, say, God, I'm going to trust you. You'll start walking and you'll walk until you're not. You'll be translated. Enoch walked with God until he was not. That's what the church needs back in Norway, to start walking back in faith again.
Amen.
I thought I'd get two amens at least. And then you get down to this point where you come to verse 6 and you see the necessity of faith. Because it says here, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're here to please God, not ourselves. We're not here to entertain people.
Yeah.
We're here to please God. God gave us faith to please Him. Problem is that many of us end up trying to please other people and we lose ourselves. And we lose our strength. How many today are so gripped and are in prison because their whole life is governed now by what people think about them? We need to come back to that place where we say, Father God, I just want to live to please You. And I want to tell you something now. God is bigger than our faith. God is bigger than our faith. I started to teach the church years ago about walking in faith, and you're going to see miracles that you never believe. And I realized that God's bigger than my faith. Even when I'm not faithful, He remains faithful. And I remember we were in the church one prayer meeting, and I said to the people, look, we were praying about the suffering church, and all of a sudden I heard, pray now for the community. Now for the community. Pray that God would reach people out in the community. I came off the platform and I said, right, let's get into big groups and hold hands and pray. And all of a sudden I'm praying and the church is full of people and they're all in groups. And a man walked into the church off the streets. I didn't see him coming. And I'm holding hands. He doesn't know who I am. He's never been to church before. I'm holding hands with somewhere praying, and all of a sudden, this man comes and he grabs my hand. And I said, I'm praying. I was upset with him trying to pull me. I didn't know who he was. I said, excuse me, I'm praying. And he said, yeah, but I need to talk to you. And I said, listen, after we pray, we're praying for people outside. He said, I need to talk to you. And I said, what do you want? He said, can you show me the way? And I said, where do you want to go, Crystal Palace? Crystal Palace is somewhere up the road from our church. This man came off the streets, drawn by the power of God. He didn't know God. And what we were praying for, of all the people, God sent him to me. And I'm telling him, get off. Faith is tangible. Faith is real. And faith pleases God. And you've read it in the Bible. You've seen it in the Bible. Peter was in prison. And they were praying for him. And an angel came and set him free out of prison. And he came knocking on the door. And they wouldn't believe this. Rhoda said, Peter's outside. How could Peter be outside? He's in prison. It's time that we get our faith back. I'm serious here. It's time we get our faith back. And it's time that we understand what's in the seed of faith. We've got Muslims coming to the Lord. They come in, they want to debate. We haven't got no time to debate. We just shared the love of Jesus. And they're coming to the Lord. You've got a whole host of people now that have come into Norway. Look, let me tell you something. I was in Kristiansand years ago. I walked into a hotel where I was staying. When I walked into the hotel, I had an ex-Muslim with me from our church. And it was Ramadan. And when I came in to the hotel, there was a Muslim man there and he had his long gown on. And he saw my friend and he said, Salam alaikum. Because he could look at him and saw that he was Muslim. And then the brother from our church turned around and said, I'm not a Muslim. And he said, why are you not a Muslim? He said, I was a Muslim, but now I'm a Christian. And this man was a lawyer, top lawyer from Iraq. And he said, what happened to you? He asked him if I was a footballer. The Muslim man asked if I was a footballer. That's the furthest thing from the truth. And he said, no, he's my pastor. And the Muslim said, what is a pastor? He said, like an iman.
Yeah.
This was on a Friday. He said, what's this all about? You turned from Muslim to Christian. The reason he was here in Norway is because your Norwegian government paid for him to stay in Hotel Norge for 1 month and give him free chemo treatment for cancer. Do you know what that Muslim man told me? He said, can I tell you something about Christians in Norway? They have the love of God, but not the fear of God. And he said, we Muslims have the fear of God, but not the love of God. This is a Muslim man. Right. So I was preaching in this large church in Kristiansand, and on the Sunday morning, after 3 days, this man asked this brother from my church, where is Dennis going? He saw me with a jacket. He said, he's going to speak in a church. This Muslim lawyer had never been in a church in his life. He said, can you ask Dennis if I can come with him? A driver was going to come and pick me up. And I said to the driver from the church, don't come. I'm going to walk. And this Muslim man walked with me to the church. When he came into the church was full up and they were having praise and worship and whatever. He never seen anything like that. I never told the leaders of the church who the man was. So as soon as he came in, he wanted to go to the back. I said, no, you come with me. You're going to sit down the front. The leaders of the church thought he was a minister. So I took him down the front and he sat down with me at the front. I preached from Jeremiah 18 that morning. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. When I finished preaching, remember that man has never, ever heard the gospel. Never been in the church. When I gave an altar call in that church, only one person stood up. First, the Muslim man.
Yeah.
He jumped up and put his hands up like this. Some of you can't even do this.
Yeah.
Straight away. Do you know what I told them in the church? I said, you see this man here? He came in here a Muslim.
Yeah.
And he's leaving here born again.
Amen.
And I said, there are many of you in this church who have sat here year after year and you're not born again.
Mm.
And suddenly, bang, 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 bang. We need to get back to pleasing God.
Amen.
And speaking by faith, not by our head knowledge. It doesn't change anybody. Inspiration moves people, but only a revelation can change someone. And when you please God, even your enemies will be at peace with you.
Amen.
I'm going to give you all I have because I'm leaving. I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting that result. Oh no. I gotta go quickly. Verse 7. When you understand the necessity of faith, then you'll understand preserving faith. God will keep you. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
He will keep you. You may go through some hard times, people may mock you, may they think you're stupid. Don't worry about that. God spoke to Noah and told Noah to build an ark. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. This is active preservation faith. As children of God, please do not compromise your faith. Okay? Do not compromise your stand for God. Stand for him. Look at, and what will happen then when you're willing to persevere in your faith and stand for what you believe? Yes, it's going to release an area of obedience to God. Do you know Jesus was the Son of God, but the Bible said he had to learn obedience. Our faith will get to a level where it shows. And here in verse 8 to 10, we see clearly the next level is obedient faith. And it's with Abraham. Yeah. Lord, I just want to be obedient with my faith. You've told me something in your word, Lord. Help me just to obey you. Yeah. A shift is coming in Norway. It's coming. I know it is. This is 50 years of my life. It is coming. 50 speaks of Jubilee.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Jubilee's coming. In Jesus' name, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going, but by faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. He waited for the city which was the foundation and whose builder and maker was God. Amen?
Amen.
And then you get on to my exciting bit, verse 11 and 12. Hallelujah, glory to God. And this is Sarah. Because when you start to persevere in your faith and you be obedient in your faith, then you start to see things happen that you won't see happen before. It's called life-giving faith. Sarah, remember, she was barren. She couldn't have children. She was past the age of having children. But Sarah got life-giving faith. And what happened? She got pregnant. And everyone would think, this woman's crazy. Look at her. She's got a phantom pregnancy. She's getting... But she knew what was inside because she could feel the kicking. And when life-giving faith starts to move in your life, everyone will think you're crazy outside, but you just know inside, God said this, he meant it, and it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Life-giving Father, I'm asking you right now that you'll quicken the faith of your people. Your faith must release life. Those things that seem dead, he's going to bring alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Then you'll start seeing it happen in your community. Are you hearing me? There'll be people around you. When your faith starts, get to that place, you'll start praying things that you never prayed before. And you'll start seeing your neighbors and people around you turn around and say, Dennis, tell me something about the God you serve.
Yeah.
Life-giving faith.
Yeah.
Life-giving faith.
Yeah.
That seed of faith in you, don't put yourself down. God has put the greatest gift within you. It's a seed of faith. It's a seed of faith. Are you hearing me? It's the seed of faith. Seed of faith. And it's not cliche. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And when you hear all the negatives, when they told me I'm going to have bags the rest of my life and I won't be able to walk and all these things, it was the faith in me that told me no. He's the life-giving spirit. And 14 days later, I walked out of hospital. You've got to give that faith. That's, Father, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Then things start to really begin to roll. Look at this. This is what the Lord gave me, because it will come. And when he says now, he's going to do something. The next level you'll see in verse 13 to 16, it's patient, hopeful faith. Lord, help me to be patient and hopeful. Are you hearing me? These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were short of them. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind that country from which they come out, they would have an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. We are just passing through here. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Do not be weary in well-doing. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord, please, my friends. Because your faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tested. Verse 17 to 19, you'll see that Abraham's faith was tried and tested. You're going to have things happen to you that it's going to try to come and shake your faith. But you stand firm in Jesus. Yes? And once your faith has gone through the test, you know, in England, I'm sure you have it here in Norway as well, but if you're going to buy any appliance, it has to meet, in England we call it British standards. You look for that stamp on it. Yeah. When your faith is tried and tested, you will then begin to move in a realm, and Norway's church needs this realm now. And this, I'm going to go fast because I'm not going to miss my plane. In verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's what you call revelation faith. That's when you start to see things into the future and you can declare and speak blessings over it. Father, let my faith increase till I begin to function now with revelation faith. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation. You can start speaking a thing that's not as though it is. In Jesus' name. Speak over your neighborhood. Okay? Speak over your neighborhood. I have a young man. He's with me. Well, he's 40 now. He's 41. But you know, he came into my life at 5 years old. I didn't even realize it. I was going and doing lectures in schools years ago. And one night I was out in the street and I said, Lord, it's wonderful to have the people that's coming to church. But Father God, there's all these houses here, Lord. And there's people in here who don't know you. He told me, go and start to pray. Job 33:13. Pray that I will put them in a deep sleep, give them a dream, reveal hell to them. And they come out. The next Sunday, after we walked the streets and we prayed, Job 33. Next Sunday, a woman walks in with a little boy, 5 years old. And when he walks into church, he said, Mom, that's the man that comes to my school. She has been in our church. He's now 41 years old. And he came in at 5 years old. She had a dream that week and saw herself. She was in bed with his father. They weren't married. And she saw in a dream herself going to hell. And she jumped up out the bed and said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not living like this anymore. I'm going to find a church. Please. You need faith. You need revelation faith. Okay? This is not just hearsay. I live this. This is a reality. So, Father God, please help me to see beyond just the things that we feel we should do. Help us to see what you want to do so we can please you by doing it. In Jesus' name. And I'll tell you what, when you start to move in revelation faith, you're going to start prophesying. Look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of his sons, Joseph and worshipped, leaned on the top of the staff. This is prophetic faith. Prophetic faith. When you start to... I'm a musician. My faith started to develop into revelation faith, then in the music realm, we just started to prophesy. Because our faith took us to a place where we could see things and we could prophesy. And when you prophesy, you'll see what God has put in your heart to speak. And when you start to move in prophetic faith, all of a sudden, you'll move into, it develops into authoritative faith. Look at verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Authoritative faith. Faith. Lord, help my faith to develop with authoritative faith. The problem is right now, many, many Christians, when they get challenged with secular humanism and all these different views that are coming in, they back off. They back off. You must have faith in God, that your faith becomes authoritative. In Jesus' name. God said it, I believe it, it is so. Amen? Amen. And then when you have authoritative faith, look at Amram and Jochebed in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's command. What happens there, you end up having fearless faith. Fearless faith. Hallelujah. I wish I could bring my mother back to Norway. She's 94 years old. But our whole community, all our community, knows my mother. My mother lived at that dimension. Fearless faith. She's the most gentle, kindest woman. Our state priest came to me one day and said, Dennis, I, with some of our members, were going knocking on people's doors to introduce ourselves as from the Anglican Church. He said, every single house we went to, the first thing that the people said is, do you know Mrs. Greenwich? In her everyday life, just shopping, whatever, my mum would just share Jesus. Not just going and talking to people, but just by them being around her. She's such a special woman. And she received the gospel under a tree at 10 years old from a Norwegian woman. We say in the name of Jesus, Father, give us back, Lord God, that fearless faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And then, of course, I've got to go. Deliverance faith. Rahab. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get to that realm where your faith develops, you can turn around and you have deliverance faith. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's so wonderful. Deliverance faith, where you can see your community impacted because your faith has come to a level. There are some of you here right now that you need to go and dig your faith back up. Jesus spoke about giving that talent and he went and buried it. Because dig it up. The hurt and pain that we feel sometimes, even when we're called in ministry, is because we're trying to work God's work with our own works. And that's why we keep falling out with people. That's why we have problems with people. But if a man's ways pleases God, even his enemies be at peace with him. I want to please you. I want to please you, Jesus. I want to please you. I'll close with this, because I got this faith thing a very long time ago before I was a preacher. I understood faith just by Hebrews 11. And I said, Father God, develop my faith. And I need to pray for my work colleagues. And one day my boss came in, I think I said this the other day, and he sat down on the floor and said, I want what you want. And I led my boss to the Lord, and then several of my work colleagues got saved. But you know, what they did, I worked for a company and every Christmas they had a function and it was not good. So I never went to it. It was not good what they'd done there. But one, I got a new boss and he said to me, oh Dennis, I heard that you don't come to the Christmas function. Is it because you're a Christian? I said, I am coming. And he said, oh. And I used to pray every day with 2 other brothers who are still with me today, 40 years later. I used to pray every day with them. And I told them, I'm going to the Christmas function. And they said, we'll pray for you. I said, oh, no. No, no. You are coming with me. You are coming with me. And I talked them into it, and we went there. And what they did, they tried to set it up. They set the whole thing up, all my unsaved colleagues. And what they did, they was going to make a joke out of something. And when I was there, they brought a policewoman in who was not a policewoman. She was a stripper. And they wanted to make something to embarrass me. And as they were bringing her from the outside down, I was in with all my work colleagues, and then suddenly one of them, as a joke, said, "Oh, for the first time we have Dennis the Christian here. I'm sure he wants to give thanks for the food." That was my cue. I saw them bringing the stripper down, little short dress, and she's coming like this, and I saw her coming, and I got up, and I said, "Yes, I'll pray for the food." I said, "Father, I thank you that in Genesis, you created heaven and the earth. In Exodus," and I went right through the whole Bible. And the next thing I looked outside, I saw two men taking the stripper, running the other way. They had a bar in the place. They never opened the bar. And I led so many to the Lord. And I wasn't a pastor. Your authority faith, deliverance faith, that which Satan means for evil, you can turn it around. And I've got to go because I want to see my wife. So, I love you so much. But can I pray with you? Is there anyone here that's saying, "Lord, increase my faith"? Then if you stand up and raise your hands, let me pray with you. Oh, come on. Raise your hand. You say, "Lord, I want the full potential." Father, thank you. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for giving me one more opportunity to be in this land. Let faith arise, O Lord. Let every church, oh God, be brought to the place to bring glory to you. That every evil spirit that is trying to take over this land will be bound and broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we ask you right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let there be a bursting forth, oh God, of your investment of faith in us. Cause our faith to increase, oh Lord God. In Jesus' name. Those of you that mean busy, you're saying, "Lord, I want the full potential of your faith in my life to be fulfilled." Lift your voice and ask the Lord. Come on, just begin to speak to the Lord. Start asking him right now. Bring your community before the Lord. Come on, bring your families before the Lord. Bring your unsaved relatives before the Lord. Tell him you want to please him. "God, I want to please you. I want to please you. Anything that's in my heart, in my mind, oh Lord Jesus, that is hindering my faith from meeting the potential it should do, may it be removed in Jesus' name. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto your name be glory." Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. And thank you for your investment. And every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, Lord, in this place, thank you for this beautiful place. Thank you, Father, for this precious Pastor Morton and his precious wife. and all those staff and everybody that's in this place. Thank you, Abba. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, because we're going to see your train fill your temple. Thank you for the many souls that are coming into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Doubt and unbelief be removed. We bless the Bible school, Lord. We bless the Bible school. We bless every prayer meeting, God. We bless every Sunday service. Every ministry, Lord, we bless. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Come on, lift your voice and give God praise. God bless you all. God bless you.
Takk for at du hørte på vår podcast. Har du spørsmål eller ønsker du å vite mer? Søk oss på vår nettside tonsbergfrikirke.no. Du også velkommen til kirke på Brygga I Tønsberg.